Garcia is the Director of Creating Change at the National LGBTQ Task Force. He's here to talk about their virtual conference that takes place this year, January 28th through January 31st, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Andy.
Hello, Charlotte. Thanks so much for having me. I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Tell us about this year's virtual Creating Change conference.
Sure. So if folks caught your interview with our executive director, Ray Carey, back in September, folks already know that the conference will be virtual for the first time in our 33-year history. If folks don't know about Creating Change, it is the largest LGBTQ activist conference in the country. It's been happening since 1988. I'm biased, but it's pure magic. It's just this amazing queer space that exists once a year. So the conference is a program of the National LGBTQ Task Force, which lots of folks don't know. And I am extremely excited. I'm really confident that this year's conference is going to be one of, if not the biggest, Creating Change conferences ever. More people, particularly more students, will be able to attend this year. And that just means more activists and a bigger Creating Change family for the conference in the future. So I'll start with that, and then I'll say, you know, what I'm really, really excited about is we've got a great program lined up that we're really proud of. Of course, there are some big names. A keynote by Dominique Jackson, the amazing activist who plays Electra Abundance on the hit show Pose, which is about ball culture. Adrienne Marie Brown is giving another keynote. Adrienne is the brilliant brain behind the books Emergent Strategy and her new book Pleasure Activism, The Politics of Feeling Good. We've got performances by Big Frida, the queen of New Orleans bounce music. Earlier this year, Big Frida released a documentary, Frida Got a Gun. Our MC is Sandra Valls, an amazing comic, actor, singer, and badass, I'll say. We've also got two nights of games. We've got our iconic Agents of Change ball with national judges benefiting the House Lives Matter Mutual Aid Fund. So we're bringing a real house ball to your house. We've got awards presentations and a super curated best of the best, which is a term Ray used back in September, best of the best in terms of workshop sessions and caucuses. So as always is the case with Creating Change, people are going to have some hard choices in terms of what they attend at any given moment. There's an abundance of riches in that regard.
How did you get involved with Creating Change?
I started working in the movement right out of college 25 years ago, and my first job was with the National Lesbian and Gay Health Association, working on their conference, and then went on to work with Ray Carey at NIAC. She's been my boss before, and I coordinated our national summit and regional summits there as well. And from there, just kind of started doing queer conferences and have been attending Creating Change for 25 years. I've missed a few here and there. And honestly, I never dreamt I would be on this side of the conference, organizing the conference. I dreamt about it. I've loved the conference for, you know, as I said, 25 years.
What do you hope to accomplish at this year's conference?
So this is my third time coordinating the conference, directing the conference. And every year we ask ourselves, what do people need in this moment? And I think that question is particularly poignant this year. People are hurting. They're isolated. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so this conference is always about people learning and connecting with and from each other. The conference in-person context, it's overwhelming in terms of just the love, the hugs, the laughing, the kissing, the dancing, all of that kind of person-to-person stuff. So we're really trying to capture that energy in a virtual space. I think we've all been doing this virtual thing for the past 10 months. We did an event back in September, a Queering Racial Justice event, and that really went well, went amazingly well. We got a lot of great feedback, so I'm really confident. We've learned even more since that event back in the fall to make an event that really helps people connect, makes them feel like they're in a space with each other, even though it's virtual. So harnessing that energy, really getting people to feel connected with each other, as we've all felt so alone in many cases this year. To answer the question more directly, we're providing a space, you know, a platform this conference is about us as a movement collectively figuring out what we want and need the world to be and how we get there. And Creating Change teaches us that we have the power and in fact, the responsibility to do that. The power to create the world that we want, you know, a world that values us, protects us, pushes us to do better.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
You know, the biggest picture level, nothing less than full justice, equity and freedom for all LGBTQ people, essentially liberation for all the queers. And by that, I really mean all of us. And of course, you know, I hope to accomplish through the conference just more activists, really constantly training more and more activists. There have been tens and tens of thousands of activists who have cut their teeth at creating change over the years. And, you know, in terms of queer liberation, I mean, some of that's about policy work, you know, and the task force's work is about advocacy and legislation. Some of it's about hearts and minds work, public education, and some of it is about healing ourselves. And the conference really, you know, is a space for that to happen as well. Ultimately, it's about demanding things we know we need for ourselves and that we deserve it.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in 2021?
Sure, great question. I think hearts and minds are on our side in this country. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court appears to not be on our side. I think we've seen, you know, some real progress over the past three decades. And, you know, at the same time, we continue to face some real challenges. I'll point to violence against trans people as being one of the most challenging issues, particularly the ongoing epidemic of murders of trans women of color. Also, queer youth continue to face bullying. People still face the horrors of conversion therapy. And we lack comprehensive non-discrimination protections at the federal level, and we're seeing a chipping away of those rights. I think a real win for us in 2021 will be the Equality Act. Again, comprehensive non-discrimination protections at the federal level is really something we've been after for decades now, and I'm really hopeful that that will happen this year. There are also just attacks on reproductive and sexual health, including attacks on abortion and sexual health education. Particularly Black, gay, and bisexual men and trans women of color face proportionate rates of HIV and access to treatment. So there's still a lot of issues that we're facing, but ultimately we'll continue to move forward because we're fighters. I'll just also say that this past year's demands for racial justice have inspired a new wave of activists, whether it be for the movement for Black Lives, the Indigenous Land Back movement. There's a real struggle for the soul of this country, and I truly believe, regardless of what the Senate looks like or the Supreme Court, those of us on the correct side of history will continue to win.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids, especially dealing with these challenging times?
The most important thing is for young people who are contemplating suicide to reach out for help. The Trevor Project at thetrevorproject.org is a great resource. I'll say a little bit more about that. The first half of my career was working with queer youth, first with Ray Carey at NIAC, the National Youth Advocacy Coalition, in the mid-90s, and then at Bagley, which is the Boston Alliance of LGBTQ Youth. So I've worked with queer youth for a long time now. I, unfortunately, am aware that the numbers, those suicide statistics, haven't changed at all. And I think those of us of a certain age like to think that we had it much harder. And in some ways we did, but I think that ignores the fact that things are still hard and they're different. Bullying is a huge issue. And social media has only exacerbated that as far as I can tell. Isolation is very, very real. Family rejection is very, very real. We know that what queer youth need most is to feel connected, supported, and loved. Again, go to thetrevorproject.org and click on Get Help. You'll be able to call a suicide prevention phone line, chat online with a counselor, or get support. And speaking of Trevor, they'll be presenting 2 sessions at the conference, one on suicide and one on conversion therapy. If your listeners don't know, conversion therapy is an abusive and discredited practice, and it's linked to higher rates of suicide. And so those 2 sessions at the conference, I think, will be really helpful for all of us, you know, to become more aware of the issues and the resources available. And just in general, the conference is a great place for queer young people out there to connect and get that support that really helps.
How can people get information about Creating Change Conference 2021?
If folks are connected to the internet, the best way is creatingchange.org, and that will get you access to the agenda, the schedule, all the different things happening, and you can register, and that's really the one-stop place to get it all.
What other projects are you working on?
Another project near and dear to my heart. I've always considered myself an amateur archivist. I think that archiving, and particularly queer history, is so, so important. So I just encourage all of your listeners, you know, save those things that you pick up in different places. You know, they'll be historically significant someday. I've learned that. I have boxes of things that I've collected, and that history is so important because it's often said, you know, we don't know where we're going if we don't know where we've been.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Sure. I always love when people ask me what I'm looking most forward to at Creating Change, particularly what are my favorite sessions? What am I most looking forward to? We have an Indigenous organizing track this year, which includes a Two-Spirit 101 workshop, a Indigenous caucus session, a day-long Indigenous organizing institute, a session about Indigenous trans women, an Indigenous youth and elder panel. I'm looking forward to all of that. There's a Deaf caucus and a session on Deaf queer liberation. I'm proud to say all of our sessions are ASL and Spanish interpreted and captioned. You'll love this one, Charlotte. We have a queer journalist panel called We're Here, We're Queer, We're on Deadline. I also love our sexual freedom track, which includes our very popular Mapping Desire Institute, a timely workshop about sex in the time of COVID. I'm proud that the task force really values sex and sexuality as part of our movement. We've also got some great faith-based workshops, a trans seminarian panel, a film by Yuval David exploring what Jesus really thought about LGBTQ folks. So there you have it, politics, including prison and police reform. So you have those three things we're not supposed to talk about at the virtual holiday table: sex, politics, and religion. So I'm really proud of our workshop roster this year.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Something that I say often, because this is relevant to creating change, is even if you learn something the hard way, it's still learning, and that's a whole lot better than being ignorant. Creating change really pushes us to have hard conversations, and people learn some things that they're better off knowing, but that were hard to sort of recognize. There have been a lot of hard lessons this year, and when it's all over, I'm hopeful it will be a better country. I'll throw in another quote, and we do a calling of the names every year at Creating Change, and that's all the folks we've lost in the past year. And this year's list, as you can imagine, is longer than usual. So I always keep the quote close to my heart: honor the dead and fight like hell for the living.